So Rust V1 was announced about 10 years ago, and ever since then, its popularity has been increasing. And now we are seeing more and more calls at every level to move away from C and C++ over to Rust. Now, Rust offers good C interoperability, and they are working currently on the compatibility in the interworking between Rust and C++. Now, in this video, I want to start a series, I hope, of videos about how you switch from using C as your main language to using Rust. Now, of course, you can't cover everything in one video. That's why I say it's going to be a series of videos, but we have to start somewhere. So that's what we're going to do today. So if you want to find out more, please let me explain. Okay, so migrating from C to Rust is our topic. And as I said, this is part one, or hopefully of a series. Now, why? Why would you want to move from C to Rust? Well, there's a whole bunch of things we could look at. Rust has plenty of powerful features. We could, of course, explore the pros and cons in detail. However, the main reason this is getting any kind of traction, other than, oh, I prefer this language and that one, is memory safety. And not needing a garbage collector to do that memory safety and to do memory stuff in general. So basically, the problem with C, as I've shown here on this channel in some other videos, is that you can shoot yourself in the foot. You get yourself a very big, powerful weapon, but you can shoot yourself in the foot. Pointer problems, buffer overflows, and all this kind of stuff. Now, Rust is designed so that you don't have those problems. Now, it doesn't matter whether you're using Windows, Linux, macOS, Android, iOS, we're always getting security updates for our operating systems. And some of those updates are in part due to the fact that we use C or C++, and that allows various problems to appear with overruns, buffer overruns, pointer problems, as I was saying. Now, moving over to Rust would reduce those problem significantly, and that would make our operating system safer. So that's the argument. Now, one thing we have to know is there are lots of tools and techniques to help minimize the effort needed in moving away from C towards Rust, and we'll look at some of those in this video. But ultimately, if you're going to move over to Rust, no amount of automation or clever shortcuts can replace the need to actually learn Rust and to learn it well. So if you're going to go this way, you're going to need to just invest emotionally and mentally in learning the Rust language. Now, if you don't know much about Rust, then I do have a couple of videos here on this channel. One of them is 12 things to help you learn Rust. That's you'll find that here. And another one, and this is the big issue with Rust, that people who come from C or C++ or even Python, this idea of ownership and borrowing. So I cover that in that video. Okay, so calling Rust from C, not calling C from Rust, but you've got a C program, you've already spent years developing a particular set of programs, APIs, microservices, whatever it is, however you've done it, it's all implemented in C, and now you want to start moving some of it over to Rust. So there is an overemphasis on calling C from Rust, but really, in order to migrate from existing C code to Rust, it's necessary to translate parts of that code, that code base, function by function, file by file, until you're in a position to think of the code base really as a Rust program with some C code, and eventually just a Rust program. But first of all, you'll need to call Rust from within C. But to start, it will be C code with some Rust. So here is an incredibly simple C program. It prints out 10 random numbers. Notice here, vseed and vrandom. These are two functions that we create ourselves, and they are defined in terms of the header file in vrandom.h. I'm not actually calling vseed in this one because this is a pseudo random number generator. I had a few comments under another video where I was doing some stuff, and people would say, why does it keep producing the same numbers? Because it's pseudo random, always produces the same sequence unless you change the seed, and the seed is set in its initial thing. But you notice one way to do that is to set the seed to be the current time, and that means that every time you run the program it's going to be different. But in this particular one, I'm not running out, so I can run it 10 times and make sure I get the same output, which means when I port it to Rust, I can make sure I'm getting the same output. Now, here's that vrandom.h, just defines those two functions. And finally, here is vrandom.c. Basically, this is the the random number generator that was in VAX VMS for a long, long time. Pretty simple. This mathematical equation basically means you get a pseudo-random sequence out of it that jumps all over the place, and it will eventually repeat itself. And you can see it's a very simple program there. So to compile that, what you would do is you'd use a compiler like GCC. You would compile vrandom.c. That will give you vrandom.o because you've included this minus c flag. Then you create a library, in this case libvrandom.a, and you create it from vrandom.o, which we generated in this line here using the ar command and then these parameters. And then finally you generate the actual binary gcc minus o main.c. that was our first that was the loop that we had in there printing out those 10 numbers. And then you're going to say find additional libraries in the current directory, that's the capital letter L, minus small letter L, link against library vrandom. You don't need to put the lib part in front of it. All he knows is going to be lib something. So it's lib vrandom, link against lib vrandom, minus L vrandom. And that will use this .a file and it will give you the program. And then when you run it, you get those random numbers. If you run it 100 times, you get the same random numbers because I'm not changing the seed. So now we have a C program that's made up of two files. One creates a library, one is the main C file. Now we want to call some Rust from our C program. So to start moving to Rust, I want to convert vrandom.c to Rust, but keep main.c the same. This is the key thing. I don't want to change the rest of my C code. I want to keep it exactly the same. And I want to slot in some Rust code there. And slowly and surely, I can start to port different things over to Rust and move away from the C code. So I'll create a Rust project that will build libvrandom.a and then link against it when I'm compiling main, just exactly as I did. So let's convert vrandom.c into a standalone Rust program to make sure I know how to do it in Rust. That's the first thing you want to do. And so here it is. You've basically got this same x, this number you're going to do that manipulation to. You've got vrandom, you've got vseed, then you've got the main program that prints out the 10 numbers. Few things to note. First of all, we're having to use unsafe here because we're altering a global variable, which is a no-no in standard Rust. So we have to say, okay, unsafe here because I'm modifying this global variable. And secondly, if you do any multiplication or adding that overflows, so goes bigger than what the number can hold in C, it just overflows. The new number is just in the bits that are remaining. Any bit that went over just gets discarded. In fact, this multiplication here that we're using relies on that fact that it's going to go over, but you're still keeping the bits that you need. But to force that in Rust, you're going to need to say this is a wrapping multiplication and a wrapping add, so that it knows that it's allowed to go over and it wraps around. It overflows and truncates basically. Again, VC needs to be unsafe because it's going to modify X. And then here we just call vrandom. There could be a call in here to vseed if I wanted to, not included in this program. So that, if you run that, you do get exactly the same numbers out as we did in our previous slide. Now, to create a project that can build a library for C, you need to edit your cargo file and add in this line, lib crate type static lib. And that will mean it knows it's going to create a .a file rather than a binary that you just run. And here is therefore what would be vrandom.c, but now we want it to be a Rust file. And first thing to note is that this needs to be called lib.rs. Normally it's main.rs, but now it needs to be lib.rs because we've told in the cargo file there, we're building a library. We're not building a normal executable, we're building a library. And then a few things to note, as well as all the unsafe and the wrapping that we've already got previously, you need to add in this pragma here, no mangle. Mangle is a way of creating unique names for functions so that functions can have the same name across different files, but they don't clash with each other necessarily. And so the compiler will mangle them to give them kind of unique names. We don't want to do that because we actually want the file, we want the function to be called vrandom. We want to be able to call it in our library. So you want to tell it that. And also you want to tell it that this is going to be linking to an external interface. It's called a foreign function interface, FFI, external, it's C. And that means that when the Rust compiler looks at this, it knows to present this to the outside world as a C function, even though it's written in Rust. And that allows us now to call this from within inside a C program. And now our main program, main.c, remains exactly the same. It's exactly the same code as we had before. Nothing is changed. And that's the idea. When you're porting from C to Rust, you want to be able to port sections without modifying other parts. So this bit remains exactly the same, which means you can just slot in your new implementation without it messing anything else up in your system. But you have to build it differently. First of all, you do a cargo build, minus minus release to get the release build, and that will build you libvrandom.a. Okay, and now we need to compile our main program. But before it was minus l dot, because the library was in the in that current directory. Now, assuming we've built the vrandom project underneath our C program, it's now in vrandom target release. That's where the library file will be found. If you've built it in a separate directory away from your C code, then you need to specify here the path to that. And then again, link against libvrandom. In this case, libvrandom being built by Rust and not by C. And then that's it. It will build and it will give you exactly the same results as before. But you notice we had all that unsafe stuff in there. So vrandom can be converted to Rust and use the safe features of Rust, but it will look a bit different. Unsafe was needed as it modifies the global variable x. The idiomatic approach in Rust would be to encapsulate x within a structure. So how do you do that? Well, this is what it looks like here. You basically have this structure called vrandom. It's got x inside of it, and then you need to implement that. And then you've got here, I've changed the names, new vrandom, next vrandom, seed vrandom, and they do basically the same things, but you see they're dealing with this vrandom structure that gets populated when you create it here with new vrandom. So it's slightly different, but notice our no mangle stuff is still here, external C stuff. Here you need to tell it that this is being can be represented as a C structure. So you have to put in these things to tell Rust to play nicely with the C compiler. And then basically, if you wanted to run that as a standalone program, this is how you do it. You would define your random number generator as a vrandom, new vrandom, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That's the C you're starting with. And then you print them out using a random number generator that you've created here, dot next random, dot next vrandom, which would call that function here. And you can run that as a Rust program, and you will get exactly the same numbers coming out because that seed starts the same. Now, if you're going to interface that with C, you're going to need a different vrandom.h. This one, first of all, needs to define this structure vrandom. And you're going to need these new functions, new vrandom, next vrandom, and they return, for example, a struct vrandom and so on. Now, that means if you want to use that in your C program, you're going to need a different C program. This is where the disadvantage comes in. We've created Rust code that's idiomatically correct for Rust, but the result was that it actually interferes with our C, because now I need to create this variable RNG, which is in fact a structure of type vrandom. I need to call new vrandom with the seed, and I can then change the seed there if I want to. That was commented out in previous versions. And then I need to go around calling next vrandom and then passing in my structure. So my C code has now changed, but I've got more idiomatic Rust. So this is one of the things that's going to have to happen as you translate your C to Rust. There's that first attempt where the C doesn't change and the Rust is kind of just 100% compatible, and then there's going to be a time when you're going to need to start tweaking your C to play more friendly with Rust. In any case, when you run that, if you took out the seeding here, if you start from the same seed, you get those same random numbers, and it works as you would expect. Now all safe, but the downside is that the C code has had to be changed, which of course would be a challenge in a large project. If this got called in 300 different places across your project, then you'd have to go through and manually start editing all your C code, which is something you might not want to do. Okay, now there is a handy tool. If you remember this header file that we had here, that's actually quite different and, you know, maybe not obvious just for you to just type out blindly, like, oh, equals, I know what I need to type in now. Now, thankfully, there is a tool called cbindgen, binding generator. Okay, and you can install that by using cargo install, and then basically you run that in the top level of your Rust project, and it will analyze it and create the header file that you need to call it from C. And so that's really helpful if you've written it the idiomatic way for Rust. This is a really helpful way to get the right C header files, which means you can then call it from C. Okay, so let's talk about part two. What would you like to see in a part two? Please do let me know in the comments below. Are there any other Rust tutorials you'd like to see? Again, please let me know in the comments below. What about other C tutorials? I do have quite a few C tutorials here on this channel. Would you like to see some other ones? Please let me know in the comments. Okay, that's it. My name's Gary Sims. This is Gary Explains. I hope you enjoyed this video. If you did, please do give it a thumbs up. If you enjoyed this video, please do stick around by subscribing to the channel. Before you disappear, do note that I am now also on Blue Sky. So you can find me on X, formerly Twitter. You can find me on Blue Sky. And you can, of course, find me on YouTube and Mastodon and so on.